Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come to you on Wednesday night. God has ordained it. He has allowed us to come together to explore the Word of God together on such a night, on a holiday, Halloween. We gonna get into our lesson, and we're gonna play a song. We're gonna go to the throne of grace, and the board in the studio is lighting up. You know, even though it's a holiday, you guys took time from your schedule so we could come together tonight to hear what the Spirit have to say. I pray that the Holy Ghost give you illumination and revelation, and a word don't return void, and you learn that your labor is not in vain, and your coming and being committed, God honors that. We all pressing towards a mark of a high calling. No big I's and little U's. Just coming together to explore the Word of God. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Romans. We're in the 14th chapter. We're going to expound on the first through the 14th verse. And I just want y'all to know I feel really good tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you had a great week. You know, God is doing wonderful things for his people. But sometimes you have to just sit back and pay attention to what he's doing in and through your life so that you could submit even more, so that you can receive even more. So the title of our lesson tonight is, Let Every Man Be Persuaded in His Own Mind. And I want to just let you know that some of the things that we're doing in the body of Christ with scripture and interpretation and the way we were taught and what we believe, it's all like beating a dead horse. Paul, in his writing that we're going to expound on tonight in the book of Romans, is letting us know how to deal with such things. And it's a beautiful chapter, and it has profound meaning. So as we get into the lesson tonight, I pray that each and every one of you open your ears and your heart that you can receive what God is going to tell you on tonight. What I'm going to do now is play a song, and we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace. And the song that's going to be played tonight is a record called, well, a song called Encourage Yourself. Because if you keep living, it's going to be time when there's no one around to encourage you. No one to give you a pat on your back. No one to pick you up when you fall. But you see, we all should study enough and have enough and know enough about the mighty God we serve that we, in times like those, could encourage ourselves. So the title of the song is Encourage Yourself. And once that's through, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And then we're going to explore the lesson together.
How many people are encouraged tonight?
And that was encourage yourself. You know, you sometimes have to encourage yourself. And I want to tell you, a good way to encourage yourself is in the Word of God. You know, the more you, you know, entertain the Word of God, the more courage you receive, and the encourage you receive from what God says about you. Encouragement that you know and have learned who God is and what he has for you should be all encouragement in a world that you need. So now it's time to go to the throne of grace. The Bible saying all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. So at this time, I'm asking if anyone would love to pray, that you could press the one button and I'll open the mic. God is given an opportunity if anyone would want to pray. Press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. Dear Heavenly Father, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our beginning and our end, the author and the finisher of our faith, our healer, our deliverer, the bright and morning star. Lord, in your word you say holy is your name, because you are holy God. Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, and we thank you for your spirit, and we thank you for your love and your long-suffering and your peace and the joy that you extended to us, and your righteousness and your holiness you let us partake in, because you're our God. And for that I say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for mercy and grace. Thank you for allowing us to come together on Wednesday night. I decrease as the Holy Ghost increase. Have your way, Holy Ghost, with this Bible study on the night. I'm not going to ask you to please come by, because you're already here. Because you say you're a God that'll never leave us nor forsake us. For that I say thank you. I thank you for life and living and for well-being and your word. Lord, I am just so grateful, because one of the worst sins in the world, you say in your word, is the sin of ingratitude. And I am grateful for all that you have done and is doing and promised to do in our lives. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity, for allowing me to be able to go before your people. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name, for all of our sakes. Amen. And thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to your wonderful name. One of the callers had pressed the button a little bit after I started or maybe at the same time, and it just came up. But if you would like to pray, I'm going to give you the opportunity because there's never too much prayer. Caller, your number is 504-858-00. Your mic is open.
Hello. Sister Diane?
Yes.
Hello. Yes, my name is Laura Dixon. I would pray at the end. I wouldn't mind closing out.
Okay.
Can
you press the button by mistake?
No. I pressed it at the time you got started. But I can wait.
Okay.
And start at the end. But thank you so much.
And because we need it then, too, and we always try to do a prayer going out. So I thank you, my sister. I thank you. And when we're going to close out, I will let you do it in the name of Jesus.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to say the lesson again. We got so many more callers called in, and the title of the lesson is, Let Every Man Be Persuaded in His Own Mind. And a subtitle that I put to that is, Stop Beating a Dead Horse. So as we go into the lesson, I hope we can understand where I'm coming from with the title and the subtitle. As always, I do a background, and it's so appropriate because tonight is Halloween. And you're going to see or be able to understand. It was so amazing how the Holy Ghost gave me that after he gave me the scriptures to expound on. And I got ready to do the background, and he gave me that, and it's so amazing because it really is connected. So the background tonight is going to be on Halloween, and you will understand hopefully you already understand if you read the scriptures that was posted. You'll see where it's coming from. But I want to give a little background on Halloween. I want you to know that the word Halloween dates back until like 1745. And many of you may not know or may know that it was of Christian origin. The word Halloween means saints, evening. Saints, evening. Traditionally, it was known as All Hallow Eve, when the dead were remembered. That's what the Catholics do now, with tomorrow being All Saints Day, and the day after that is All Souls Day. It was a time for all saints and all souls where they prayed for the deceased brothers and sisters that they believed died in Christ. And I think they may think of some that didn't die in Christ, and maybe they could get their souls saved. But that's with the tradition of of All Saints and All Souls. Halloween is the eve of All Saints. And if you really look at it, the word hallow is derived from hallowed. And in the Our Father prayer, they say hallowed is thy name, meaning holy and reverent. And to be honored, holy, hallowed, that's something. Y'all got to follow me now. But you see, over time, the Hallow Eve evolved into Halloween. You see, the Christians had All Saints and All Souls, and the other people had, they have something on the eve of those days, and it turned into Halloween. And over the time, it is becoming what it is today. So my question tonight is, whether or not Christians should celebrate Halloween, because this can be very, very controversial. You see, some Christians celebrate Halloween simply by dressing up in costume and having fun, seeing it as innocent and harmless. Other Christians are equally convinced that Halloween is a satanic holiday established to worship evil spirits and promote darkness and wickedness. So, who's right? Is it possible for Christians to celebrate Halloween without compromising their faith? But I want to tell you guys that God looks at the heart, the attitude, and the intent when we do the things that we do. You know, Halloween has become so much commercialized, and it has shifted from innocent costumes to more evil and pointed attraction to all things hideous and pagan. You got to see Satan's hand in this. You see, because Satan has undoubtedly made this commercialized holiday into something that has focused on the ugly and the demonic. As innocent as it may seem, it is not something to be taken lightly. Christians tend to have various ways to celebrate or not to celebrate. For some, it means having an alternative hallelujah party. You know, that's what they do in the church. You know, they bring it to the church, to a more godly environment. For others, it is staying away from the ghosts, witches, goblins, and all of that kind of costumes. So they decide to put on little princes, clowns, and cowboys, superheroes, and these things here. Some choose not to do anything, electing to lock themselves in the house with the lights off. We have to remember our freedom as Christians. We are at liberty to decide how to act. I want to let you know, Scripture does not speak at all about Halloween, but Scripture does give us some principles on which we can make proper decisions. So again, I say, should a Christian celebrate Halloween? Is there anything evil about a Christian dressing up as a princess and going around the block with their children asking for candy? No, there is not. And are there things about Halloween that are anti-Christian and should be avoided? Absolutely yes. If parents are going to allow their children to participate in Halloween, they should make sure to keep them from getting involved in the darker aspects of that day. The decision is ultimately yours to make. But as with all things, we are to incorporate the principles of Romans 14 that we're going to study tonight, so that each of us can make a decision for ourselves, that we could see how Paul talks about not Halloween, But in the 14th chapter, we're going to see the two issues that he talk about, but he don't want us to just think on those issues. He want us to think on everything that can be, you know, a issue, a belief in the church among brethren. We can't allow our own convictions about a holiday to cause division in the body of Christ. Nor can we use our freedom to cause others to stumble in their faith. I'm telling you tonight, let's stop beating a dead horse and see what the Word of God is saying. See what Paul is teaching us about these type of conflicts and what to do with them. Because I want you to stop beating a horse about Halloween, because Halloween can't get you into heaven and it can't keep you from it. We are to do all things as to the Lord. So get your Bibles. We're going to be in Romans the 14th. We're going to start at the first verse, and I'm going to read the first through the sixth verse. We're going to look at it, and we're going to see what the Spirit has to say about this type of thinking. Chapter 14, verse 1. It says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not in doubtful disputation, you know, doubtful, you know, argumentations and arguing and disputing is what they're saying. Number 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak, they only eat herbs. 3, let him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge he that eateth. For God has received him who, and then, you know, he's saying they all right with God. But watch 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth. Or fall it. What that scripture is saying, that Jesus is going to be the judge. So, you know, we are Jesus' servants, and we go around judging one another. But the scripture says, who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he stand. I guess saying accountable for. He either stand before his master or falls. It goes on to say, ye he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that eateth to the Lord, for he give God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord eateth not, and he still give God thanks. Paul. He's teaching in the book of Romans. You know, in the book of Romans was after the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts was where the church was established. All of these people went back to their places. They started the churches. They didn't have Bibles like we have now, y'all. So they would go in and they would read off the scroll in the synagogues and in the temple and the private homes and things they had. And they would try to understand what the word is saying. But you see right here, Paul was teaching new Christians, new Roman Christians, and they had some new Gentile Christians. You see, you must understand that each one of them came from a background that taught things of the law. Now, you know, when Paul was teaching, Jesus had died, and grace had came, and then there was the law. So each came from a background being taught a law that was now removed by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets." And when, you know, I used to always read that, "I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets." And most of the time when you read something concerning that, it always said the law and the prophets. So I was wondering why it was always there. You see, the law was there, and the prophets always came with a message from God. So Jesus is saying, "I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets," or what they were saying. "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Praise be to God. You see, things that the law could never accomplish for us, Jesus did it all for us, and all to him we owe. You see, the law had heavy burdens, and it kept you in bondage. But you see, the grace through Jesus Christ has set us free. You see, under the law, they were taught that eating such food as was that was described in the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter to be exact, were unclean and shouldn't be eaten. I'm going to give you some examples, and you could go back to Leviticus 11 chapter. In verse 3, it say, "You may eat any animal that has split hoof, completely divided, and that chew the cud." So that was the rules for eating. You know, that's why people eat cow, because it's, you know, it split the hoof, and it's divided, it chew its cobs, and it spit it out, and it chew it again. And it was so precise. It say, even though the pig has a divided hoof, but it does not chew the cord. And that's why some don't eat pork. You see, Leviticus 11:9 said, it came back and it told us, and it talked about the animals that live in a sea or in a river. If the animals have fins and scales, you may eat it. And since catfish doesn't have scales and fins, that's why some people don't eat it. You see, then there are those that understand the scripture, because in 1 Timothy 4:4, he says that, same Paul, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." You know, when the world was created, Adam and Eve, and they was vegetarians. And after the flood, meat was introduced to the diet. Then it speaks of honoring particular days. Some Christians believe that they should still observe certain days. While there are those who understand the truth of the scripture, which says in Galatians 4:10, "You are trying to earn favor with God by honoring certain days or months or seasons or years." You see, all these things were necessary, and they had a divine purpose and a reason, but it was in a season. You see, God used these things as a foreshadowing of what was going to come with the Messiah. So everything in the Bible, Old and New Testament, points to Jesus Christ. God did so many things to let us see how he's working and how everything pointed to Jesus. When Adam and Eve sinned and they covered themselves with leaves, God knew, say, that's not going to make it. So what he did, he killed the innocent animal. And that animal had to shed blood. God took the skins and he made an apron for them to put on. See, he was telling us that, you know, they're going to be sacrifices. And you have to shed the blood. Because it's the shedding of the blood that makes us free, that covers us. See, God was doing all kind of things to just let us know what was to come. And he used those days and made it mandatory for him to go, because he was showing in those days in a ceremony what Jesus was due when he come. You see, I think it was they had seven major days. And I think it was the first 3 days pointed to what Jesus accomplished at his first coming. And the others was a promise of what to come. Hallelujah. You know, you could think about the Passover in there when God told the people to put the blood of the lamb over the door, the lamb, Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. And when the dead angel came, it would pass over them. Hallelujah. He was pointing to what Jesus would do. You see, Jesus would become our sacrifice, and he would have to share his blood, and he would take the sting out of death. And when the dead angel came knocking at our door, he can't touch us because we are covered with the blood. So I'm trying to get you to, you know, get right in there and see what God, how God operated and how he used things for a season, with a reason, for the purpose. You see, they had a purpose and a season, but they were now fulfilled. There's a scripture that says the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. The law had authority, watch this, y'all, from Moses until Christ. Don't you know there was law and then there was grace? Christ brought grace. So the law no longer had its power, and it never had enough power to do what it could do, because if the law could have did it, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He could have stayed in the glory, hallelujah-ness of God in the heavens, sitting at his right seat. But he came down to save a wretch like me, because the law couldn't do it. So the law had authority from Moses until Christ. It showed that humans were prisoners to sin, unable to save themselves through human efforts. It showed that salvation can be received only through faith, not by law. Now that the law of Moses was fulfilled, come on, y'all, its purpose has now become obsolete. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. It is not a way to get right with God. The law is not a way to stay right with God. It is not a way to enter his kingdom, nor a way to stay in his kingdom, nor a way of improving your standards with God. But it's only because of Jesus' crucifixion our relationship with God depends entirely on faith. We are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There was a lot of finger pointing, arguing, like beating a horse that was already dead. Now, I'm talking way back then in the book of Romans, and a lot of it is still going on today with all the teaching and Bible study and Sunday school and tapes and TV ministers and, come on, y'all, look like all day long people write new books. And yet the same thing is going on today. You see, the weak Christian not knowing or fully understanding the truth of the scripture, you know, they blame the stronger Christians for not doing what they think they should do or what they believe that the scripture said about certain things. And here Paul is talking about what you should eat or the days you should separate. But that's not all he's talking about, so open your mind. You see, and the stronger or more knowledgeable Christians blame the weak Christian for not knowing or understanding the truth in the scripture. The scripture says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Now, you're saying that, you know, you might look at that and say, well, they're trying to say you can make it up as you go. No, Paul is saying, you know, the days is not necessary, Jesus forgave, Jesus fulfilled it. The law has been fulfilled. But the point is, if I want to eat pork and you don't like pork, why should we have so much argument? Why should we argue so much that have a falling out or separate the brethren? You don't want to eat pork? Don't eat it. You don't want to eat catfish? Don't eat it. You want to celebrate the holidays, and even certain religions still celebrate certain holidays. Catholics, the Jews still do the Passover. Baptists don't. We don't have all of the festives and all of the new moon and the festival of the weeks and all of these things. Christ fulfilled all of that. And watch this. If you really pay attention at the scriptures, you will see that Paul was not trying to make them accept either one as right. And guess why? Because neither have anything to do with your salvation. That's the point. We beating a dead horse with people on minor stuff. On pettiness. Churches is divided, and they're putting pastors out and people leaving churches. Nani going west because they didn't like what they did there. They should have did something they shouldn't have did. He said, let's reason together. In Galatians 2:16, he says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regards to festivals and new moons or the Sabbath. You know, we have some churches that believe they really have it right because they go to church on Saturday because they say that's the real Sabbath day. And yes, it is. But it's not going to stop your relationship with God or God's blessing towards you. Because if you celebrate God properly and it's not a Saturday, and it's a Monday, not even a Sunday, God honor that. We got to stop sweating the small stuff so that we could come together Paul is giving us instruction how to be, how to live in the kingdom of God. We have to use Romans 14, chapter, to settle for yourself other issues that cause conflict in a church today. If you don't study, first of all, you won't have enough information to make a sound decision for yourself. You know, many times we grew up in homes that believed certain things, and without studying for ourselves, we accepted that opinion as factual. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see, some of the other things in the church, and I'm, you know, taking you from Paul talking about eating and studying days, but you get into it and see the intent, what he's talking about, anything that's saying the left to the right or the right to the left that can't make you find, make God have favor in you, take away his favor from you. You see, if I look at another thing, it could be drinking. Drinking alcohol is a sin, while others believe that it's okay to drink if you drink in moderation. Some churches, they teach that drinking is a sin. But there's no way in the Bible that says drinking is a sin. Now, just like Paul saying about eating, you know, if you got high blood pressure, you might not want to eat pork. Not that you think that it's a sin or it's wrong to do, but because you know, it's not good for you. You got to be persuaded and make decisions for yourself, but you got to have enough information to make it. Drinking alcohol is not a sin. The Bible talks about moderation in all things. But I come to tell you that once the over-drinking begins, that's when the sin enters. We know all the ill effects of drinking, but I can't tell you that it's a sin because it's not the truth. And the Bible doesn't say it. Things like that is what Paul is talking about. Let's reason together and let's look at this for what is word. And come on, let's be intelligent about these things. You know, there's a lot of, you know, arguing and disagreement about, could a woman preach? Can women wear pants to church? If you have on pants or don't have on pants, and you loving on God and he loving on you, you keep it moving. And if you want to wear pants so bad, don't rock the church. Go to a church and let you wear pants if you believe it's okay. And any lady that want to teach and preach, and God has called you, God said he will make room for your gifts. So what may not happen on this side will happen on another side if it's God's will. Because no religion of man can trump God's will. God's will gonna be done. Hallelujah. So we have to stop bickering and fighting with these minute situations and things. But and then the killing part, sometimes the one that hollers the loudest, they never took time to go study it for themselves. You know, and some people go to the church or go to the Bible study or go to Sunday school and wait for the instructor to give them what they believe the scripture is saying, and they take it and run with it. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, you got to study to show yourself approved as a workman that can rightly divide the word of truth. You see, Jesus came to give us rest. Jesus came to give us freedom. Jesus came to let us know that there was nothing that we can do if we get to be the holiest of holiest that we can do in and of ourselves, that we can save ourselves. Am I giving you a license to do it any kind of way? The Bible say no, God forbid, but he wants you to know the truth. How can you walk in the liberty and the freedom that God has given you when you got chains around your neck, shackles on your feet on every side? You done became so religious, you know, so spiritual, you ain't no more earthly good. And that's a task to try to do. That's hard to keep up and be. And God didn't intend it that way. Yes, he said to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what God wants us to do. Because if we do that, we done fulfill all the law. And there were 613 of them. So what I'm trying to say tonight is that we have to know what God wants of us. And then you see, when we get to the next scriptures, they say in verse 7, it says, for none of us live to himself, and no man died to himself. And 8 says, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and received, that he might be both of the dead and the living. But why doest thou judge thy brother? Or why doest thou set in naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess who he is. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And don't get the judgment seat of Christ with the great white judgment seat confused. There's two, and they're totally different. Study it for yourself. If you want some information, you could ask me and I'll give it. 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And 14, I know and I'm persuaded, this Paul, he said, I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteem anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. How you like that? You see, though some are weak and others are strong, yet all must agree not to live to ourselves. No one who gives his life to Christ is allowed to be totally self-seeking, which is against true Christianity. The business of our lives is not to please ourselves, but to please God, which is true Christianity. We must make Christ our all in all. All of us for all of him. You see, Christians have different strengths and capabilities and practices, yet we all belong to God. Are you looking and serving and approving yourself in Christ? You see, God doesn't expect all of us to be the same. We are all unique, and guess what? That's the way he planned it. We are one body, with many members, with different opinions, with deciding to do what we think is right, and others think they're doing what they're right, but long as it's not a sin and exalt itself against the word of God. You do it, you keep it moving, but he asks you to be persuaded in your own mind, and you can't be fully persuaded without the knowledge and the understanding that goes along with it. Because, you see, we are one body with many members, and each one of us has a place, a part to play to make the whole. Remember, that God is in control. And I'm going to close with this tonight. There's a scripture that Paul says that I can do or have the right to do anything that I want to do. And he was saying maybe so, but he also let you know that everything is not profitable. Everything is not expedient. Everything doesn't make sense. And they talked in their scriptures about stumbling a brother. If you know you like to drink and you know you can control your drinking, the Bible says it's okay. But if you have a brother that's an alcoholic and you invite him to your house, why would you pull out liquor in front of him? It's kind of what they're saying. And you also have to be careful about new Christians. Christians that's babes. You know, they see you doing something. And they say, well, shoot, if she's been on the battlefield for 1,000 years and she ain't grown or past this issue or whatever it is, then they figure it's all right for them to do it. So we have to be concerned with one another, because those scriptures say we don't live by ourselves. So we have to keep that in mind and go in grace, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to add to it, please do. I think there could be some questions. And, you know, like I always say, I'm not the smartest person. And sometimes you could say something where people could get a better understanding of it, or you could add something in it that could really put the icing on the cake. And I welcome that. So if anybody would like to say anything, you could say it at this time. You know, the gist of the lesson was just that we got to stop sweating the small stuff. And we got to stop bringing people under scrutiny and, you know, because of what we believe. And you sure enough shouldn't do it and point fingers and beat on a dead horse if you haven't studied and been and have enough information for yourself, not what your mama said, not what your daddy said, not what the preacher said. Because if the preacher's saying it's wrong, then you being, you know, you judging someone wrongly. There's nowhere in the Bible that says it's against drinking. Remember, Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. And a lot of people will go so far as to say it wasn't wine, it was grape juice. And I'm not, well, I believe if God wanted us to know that he made grape juice, he would have said grape juice. Even the people at the party say this is the best yet. Even got mad to say, why you hell of the best to last? So we have to get with the things of God. And if you want to eat pork, you eat pork. And if you like catfish, you could eat it. It's not a sin. And you got to really look at these people were new converts. They were new Roman Christians and new Gentile Christians. And they were, you know, they was just learning about Jesus Christ. And I don't know how old you are, if you're on the phone. We have knowledge and Bibles and could receive information about Jesus Christ ever since we was born. And yet the division is still in the church. Yet the squalling, the having squarrels and everything like that is still in the church. Arguing, fussing, and division. Paul said, let's get it straight. Because those things have nothing to do with your salvation. It can't put you in heaven, and it can't take you out. And those people who decided not to do it, they thought they was the best in the West. Oh, I don't eat pork. That don't make you no better than me. I don't eat catfish because the Bible said, well, don't eat catfish. Some people, I'm a vegetarian because that's the way, you know, the world started. Well, keep being a vegetarian. But we got to live and let live. And we got to learn how to keep it moving. And we have to learn what thus said the Lord. And as the lesson title say, be persuaded in your own mind the things of God. So if anybody would like to make a comment, please press the 1 button on your phone. If anybody would like to add anything about Halloween, the things we eat, the law of grace, please press the 1 button on your phone. If somebody really got something out of the lesson tonight, please press the 1 button on your phone. If someone needs something cleared up, please press the 1 button on your phone. Caller, your number is 504-256-56. Your mic is open.
How you doing, Sister Diane? This is Sister Pamela Mack. And I want to thank you for that beautiful lesson tonight. And thank you for clarifying about the pork. That it's okay to eat pork and it's not a sin. And about catfish. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, if you got high blood pressure, pork might not be the best for you, but it's not a sin. The scripture that I gave said, God said everything, long as you bless it.
Amen. No, I do not have high blood pressure, but I was just always heard that pork was a sin to eat. But thank
you. Yeah, it was in the law
that
Jesus abolished. Thank you, my darling.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything to say? If not, we're going to go to my sister who has already agreed that she would lead us out in prayer. And sister, no, this is someone else. Okay. All right. I don't know what it, okay, wait. Okay. Caller, your number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Diane. No, I just wanted to ask prayers for my kids again. This is Diane McBride, Dustin and Derek. But, no, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, I feel like if you're like, in poor health or something, think about the pork. Think about the shrimp and the fish without the fins and stuff like that. You know, think about that when you're eating, if you're in bad health. You know, think about what you want to eat. You don't want to eat the bottom feeders, you know, because there's a reason I think that God said it's bad for you. Am I wrong on that, Sister Diane?
No, it's not that. It's not. Okay, when God said that they could eat it, you know, if you bless it. He was saying it was all right. But you got to remember, everything is not for everybody. You know, you could say the pork for your health, or you could say the fish, you know, the catfish, you know, dealing with your health. But there's so many trillion other things, you know, that you can say. Now, if you use God's diet, and, you know, everybody knows things that they could do better for their health. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. But if you use God's diet, you won't go wrong, but you're not supposed to use it. And he say it wouldn't be a sin. It's the point.
As long as you bless it, yes.
Yes.
Okay,
and
thank
you got to bless, you know. Yeah, if you use God's diet, you know, many preachers come on the TV and whatever in the churches and say they going on diets and stuff, and they're using God's diet, or they're using Daniel's diet. It's a diet that works. But it's a diet that works, but, you know, everybody may not want to do it, you know. But if you don't want to do it, you're okay.
You even mentioned sometime once somebody was, like, so ill dying, they fed them meat. Did I misunderstand that?
Wait, what did I say?
I'm thinking that, I don't know what verse it was, but once somebody was, like, close to dying or something, they fed them meat.
Oh, I would have to look it up, but I'll look it up and we'll
discuss
it.
Okay, no. I thought that was something you said tonight. That's all.
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
Okay, so
I don't think I did.
No. Okay, it's fine. No, it's like, you know, if you feel like you're ill, you got high blood pressure or something, watch out what you eat. But if not, as long as you pray before it should be okay.
Right, and you got to remember, you know, the law was given back there to Moses, you know, and then when slavery came, you know, if it was, you know, a big sin, you know, all they gave the slaves was the parts that they didn't want, the bowels and the ears and the feet and all that was pork. So they had no choice, and they ate it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So sometimes,
I am.
You know, and
I'm
then
feeling what
a
you're
lot
saying
of
too. It's like you have
yeah.
to eat it.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice. But the
right.
thing is that Paul is saying it's not a sin, and if you want to eat it, don't argue the fact with someone who do want to eat them. You let them eat, and you don't eat. If you don't want to eat
correct.
It, he's saying don't eat it. Yeah, so
right.
that's
and,
the
and,
gist
and,
of the lesson, yeah.
Right, and then if you pray before it, no matter what your decision is, eat or not eat the unclean food that the Mosaic Law says, as long as you pray first, it's okay. And as long as you're
yeah,
healthy
give thanks.
Enough, it's okay.
Correct. That's why I say every man has to be persuaded in his own mind, which is the title of the lesson.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Sister McBride. Now, I have another caller, 504-858. That's you're going to close us out in prayer, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I have two more callers, and I'm going to get back to you. Caller, your number is 504-256-56. Your mic is open.
I already spoke, Sister Diane. I told you, you clarified it up with me about the pork.
All right, darling, thank you. And I have one more caller, and then we're going to go to my sister for prayer. And we're going to end our program tonight. Caller, your number is 504-279-54. Your mic
Hello?
Is open.
Okay.
Yes.
I need something cleared up for me. Was it said that it was bad to eat the fish with no fin? Or is it was it, that was just words saying that you can't eat that. Was it saying that it was bad for you or not to eat that one?
Okay, first of all of us need to study, and it's in the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter. But what
okay.
it says is that you're not supposed to eat fish that doesn't have fins. Catfish
right.
only have skin.
Right.
And so the catfish is the wrong one, not the right one. Trout, you know, like that. Those kind of
yeah.
fish would be the better fish. So catfish,
okay.
is, as according to the writing in Leviticus, was the wrong fish.
But it's not saying that it was bad to eat it, huh?
Back then it was a sin. It was a part of the law.
That's what I'm trying to
But
find
now
out.
That Jesus has come,
mm-hmm.
the scripture that I gave, that everything is good as long as you bless it.
Right. Okay. Okay. That's
but back
what
then
I
was it was a part
to...
of the law. If you ate the fish, you violated the, if you ate the catfish, you violated the law.
So that's what was the laws in those days.
Correct.
I understand it now.
See, when God chose the Israelite to be his promised people, he gave them the promised land. Before
mm-hmm.
then, they did not have, like, you know, rules and regulations that could do certain things. So when
right.
they got ready to go in the promised land, God said, let me lay down some rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
that was,
you know,
one
they,
of the
they
rules.
Made the rules. Right. So Leviticus tells us how to eat. How the Leviticus tells us how God wanted them to eat.
Wanted.
Under
okay.
the law.
Okay.
But when Jesus
okay.
came, the law was abolished. Not
okay.
all the law.
Okay.
But the, you know, the most of it. That's a whole nother story, and we already kind of in it. But we'll
yeah.
look at that as if we keep walking in faith.
All right.
Do that help you, my sister?
Well, I may need to call you on it some more.
No problem.
Okay.
But in the book of Leviticus, on
Leviticus.
That chapter, what I read was actually what the verse says.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get it. I give you actually the verse. Okay. In Leviticus, the 11th chapter, the 9th verse, it says, of all the animals that live in the sea or the river, if the animal has fins and scales, you may eat it.
Okay.
That's the scripture.
That's
that was a part of the law.
Okay.
That's the after scripture. That's not me, you know, saying
after,
what I want to say.
And after Christ came, that's when it all changed.
Right. And I gave the scripture that told
yes.
that since Jesus came and everything was fulfilled. And,
right.
you know, we even talked a little bit about why, and they talked about the days, why the days was necessary. And
right.
I tried to make very good reference to Jesus. God do things in reasons. God do everything for a reason and a purpose. But they some things are done in seasons. And then a new season come. And
mm-hmm.
seasons come and they go. And, you know, God never changed. But he's establishing what he wants us to know, when he wants us to know, because the Bible is still full of many mysteries that we will never be able to comprehend. But we study and get as much as we can. And, you know, like I say, I only give information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination and revelation. And, it, and you know, we just have to keep pressing for the mark of the high calling, and we have to keep studying, and we have to keep holding on to the confession of our faith. And the day get brighter and brighter. We understand more and more as the days go on.
Yes. Okay.
Because nobody knew everything.
Right.
And everything haven't been revealed at this time.
Right. Okay. All right, and I thank you for that much.
Okay, and you have the number you could call. Anybody who would want to talk or get these scriptures, I didn't write them down. The number where you could contact me at any time is 504-289-9501. And now we're going to go to prayer. Hello? 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 You ready? Hello? 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 Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Are you ready to? Yes.
Yes, okay.
You can have your way at this time, my sister.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, we come once again thanking you for the many prayers and the many blessings that has been brought on us tonight. Lord, I pray for all of those that was able to come in on the lessons. I pray for those that had a desire but wasn't able to. Lord, I pray that we continue to read and to study your word. Lord, I want to pray for all the bereaved everywhere, Lord, to give the family strength just to keep holding on to your unchanging hand. Lord, and I ask upon all the families here on tonight, Lord, I ask strength for all of us, Lord. And I pray that as we receive these words, that we will go out into the dark world, Lord, to be a light and to continue to spread your word. Until we meet again, Lord, I ask that you continue to watch, guide, and strengthen us all. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, sister. Now, give me your name again.
My name is Laura. I am Pamela Mack's sister.
All right. Glory be to God. I sure thank you for that beautiful prayer.
Thank you for
and anytime you want to pray, anytime any of you would like to say something, if somebody want to teach a lesson one night, this is our Bible study. And you can. And what I might start doing, since we have more people participating, is maybe shorten the lesson so I won't hold you guys so long, because that was never my, it was never my intentions. But I'm going to talk to God and let God lead us, and we'll do whatever God tells us to do. I got to be moved by the Spirit, my sister. So to each and every one of you, thank you again, my sister.
Thank you. Amen.
It is my desire that we all grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that each one of us realize what Paul was saying to us, and each one of us will not argue or beat a dead horse with something that maybe not be true, that may not be true, or it had nothing to do with salvation. So everybody be blessed. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back again on next week. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.